This is Radio Superior 1954, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the evening Gather Round show.
Come on in and gather around, campers. Tim Michaels here, lighting the old campfire. It's Thursday, May 13th, 1954. Lou Martin's got the campfire stories. Rapid Ray has the sports. Sarah's got what's at the theaters. I hope it isn't contagious, and it's got a cure. And George G. is stopping by to talk about retirement. Glassblog is picking up the tab for the 6 o'clock news, and believe me, Lou Martin is not cheap. Just 5 minutes in our fitting room and you'll discover that beauty begins with a ballet bra at Glass Block in downtown Duluth. Your turn at the campfire, Lou.
You're hawking brows now?
I prefer the strapless kind that doesn't pinch.
You're disturbing. Topping the news tonight, Ike signs the COA measure. The Army denies trying to put the pressure on McCarthy's investigating committee. And French planes spit red death in Indochina. We begin our world report from D.C.
Hightower here in the nation's capital. President Eisenhower signed the St. Lawrence Seaway Bill yesterday in a White House ceremony. Now work can begin on the great project, the president declared as he set in motion a plan to bring ocean trade into the heart of the American continent. With more than a score of Congress members and Canadian Ambassador A.D.P. Henney looking on, Eisenhower used 9 pens to sign the bill. 3 of them were made from wood recovered from Old Fort Detroit in Michigan, which was the last of the British-held forts in this country. The president says the signing culminates 30 years of effort since the 1920s to put the bill through Congress. He hopes the work will progress rapidly so, quote, benefits can come to our people on both sides of the river. After returning to sign the measure, the president suddenly halted and turned to Senator Alexander Wiley of Wisconsin to ask what today's date was. It's the 13th, chorused a dozen people witnessing the ceremony. Republican Congressman George Dondero of Michigan says the St. Lawrence Seaway has been the dream of many decades. He says the 189-mile seaway will be one of the great waterways of the world. It will contribute to the economic welfare and the national security of the United States. Wiley says the hopes of countless millions are met in the signing of the bill. He called the presence of Ambassador Henney a symbol of unity between the U.S. and Canada. U.S. Senator Homer Ferguson of Michigan agreed it was a symbol of friendship between the two countries. He says the signing means a better United States and a better world. The measure authorizes the United States to join Canada in building a waterway deep enough to let ocean ships sail from the Atlantic as far inland as Toledo, Ohio, by going up the St. Lawrence River to the 5 Great Lakes. Engineers figure it will take about 5 years to 1959 to complete. There is talk about extending the ocean channel all the way to Duluth, Minnesota, at the end of Lake Superior, but this will require further congressional action. The Seaway idea has been endorsed by every president, beginning with Woodrow Wilson. Eisenhower supported the project on grounds it would help both nations' economy and security. The Seaway will eliminate a bottleneck in the international rapid section of the St. Lawrence River, which now allows passage of ships with only 14-foot draft. The project would deepen this to 27 feet and add locks and canals. The 46-mile rapids begins near Ogdensburg, New York. It also will be dammed to build a vast $600 million electric power plant. This is a separate project undertaken by New York State and the province of Ontario. Without the power project, the Seaway would not be economically practical. The Seaway bill passed the House a week ago today. The Senate took similar action in January. Thus ended the legislative tussle in which the Seaway Plan had always before been defeated. In Washington, this is John Hightower.
This is Jack Bell, Associated Press. Army Counselor John G. Adams insisted today the Army had no desire to stop the McCarthy Subcommittee's investigation of Fort Monmouth, New Jersey, although he concedes they were pleased with the prospect of suspension last fall. Adams also denies the Army engaged in trading favors for Private G. David Shine in an effort to get the investigation stopped or sought to appease Senator McCarthy. Adams says any special consideration for Shine stemmed only from the McCarthy Subcommittee picturing him as essential to its work. Any special deference for McCarthy was a matter of trying to avoid open hostility. Adams is back in the witness chair at the Army-McCarthy hearings for the second day, this time for cross-examination. At the outset, he swore Army Secretary Robert Stevens never instructed him to halt the McCarthy inquiry into alleged security risks at Monmouth. But he says, as Stevens did, that they wanted it ended. Stevens characterized those hearings as hammering the Army on the head. For the rest of the forenoon session, Senate Subcommittee Counsel Ray Jenkins pressed about these contentions. Jenkins climaxed this by asking whether Adams was saying the Army had no desire, however slight, to stop the McCarthy investigation. Jenkins asked for a yes or no answer. Adams hesitated. He asked that the question be read back to him by the stenographer. When it was read, he said, quote, "The answer is in the negative," unquote. In Washington, this is Jack Bell.
Hello, this is Max Jordan in Hanoi. The French sent their newly supplied American Navy Corsair fighter bombers today into the widening aerial assault upon the 70,000 communist-led Viet Minh troops inside the key defense bastion of the Red River Delta. T-26 bombers, aided by privateers and corsairs, hammered regular Viet Minh concentrations and occupied villages and their hideouts in limestone hills around Pule, 30 miles south of Hanoi. The war planes flew more than 40 missions, hitting hard at Viet Minh regulars who are spearheading attempts inside the Delta to smash vital lines of French communication, key defense posts, and possibly pave the way for an eventual major attack by Viet Minh troops moving from the fallen fortress at Dien Bien Phu. At the Red River Delta today, French Union forces pushing mop-ups against the Viet Minh reported 40 killed and 20 captured. In Hanoi, this is Max Jordan.
This is Stan Turner in Paris. Premier Joseph Laniel opened the defense of his shaky government today, asserting the Battle of Dien Bien Phu had served to delay Viet Minh attacks on the vital Red River Delta and on Laos. Pleading with the National Assembly for a vote of confidence, the Premier says although the fortress fell under tragic conditions, its defense had not been in vain. Assembly members are to vote on the confidence issue later tonight. The outcome will decide the fate of the Laniel government and possibly that of the Geneva Conference as well. If 314 negative votes are cast, Laniel will have to resign. His coalition cabinet is rounding out its 11th month in office, an unusually long term in France. Recounting details of the establishment of the Northwest Indochina Fortress at Dien Bien Phu, its siege and its fall, Laniel says no government could have done more than his to help the besieged bastion. One more note here. Reports to the French government say Viet Minh radio said today Viet Minh troops who captured Dien Bien Phu found Brigadier General Christian de Castries sitting in a chair behind his desk in full military dress, including medals. De Castries was the French commander. Dien Bien Phu fell 6 days ago on May 7th as General Vo Nguyen Giap's troops overwhelmed the fortress. The next day at the Geneva Conference, Viet Minh leader Ho Chi Minh arrived with news of the victory. Vietnam was then partitioned into northern and southern sectors with two separate governments. In Paris, this is Stan Turner.
The wife of the chairman of the McCarthy Army hearings told a radio interviewer that she's been threatened over the telephone. Mrs. Carl Mundt didn't go into details but said that she and her husband, Republican senator from South Dakota, received the same type of abuse and threats when Mundt was chairman of the House Un-American Activities Committee. The House committee was then hearing testimony on the Alger Hiss case. Of the current telephone threats, she says, and we quote, "I'm frightened occasionally by them, especially the ones that come late at night when I'm home alone." KUWS Radio News Time is 6:07. Tim Michaels has this message about bras from Glassblock.
All right, gals, I want to talk to you specifically about going to Glassblock, because if you go to Glassblock in just 5 minutes in the fitting room, you'll discover that beauty begins with a Bali bra. That's right. Cleverest kind of cup reinforcement. It's the stitching that does the trick, and you can see how beautifully it accentuates your bust line. White cotton broadcloth, 32-36A, 32-38B, and 32-40C at only $2.50. And Fit is Bali's new formula. This is a superb long-line bra designed to flatten the diaphragm, has the elastic white panels for smooth, sleek lines, white broadcloth, 32-38 A and B for only $3.50, or the strapless bra that won't pinch, poke right up or slide down. It's uplifting. You'll hate to take it off. White nylon lace, 32-36 A, 32-38 B, $7.50. And, of course, they've got the long line strapless at only $5. And the padded strapless for also $5. That's the corset shop on the second floor at Glassblock. Lou, back to you.
A visiting general sees Army potential boost. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story. Good evening, Mike.
Good evening, Lou. The armed forces of the U.S. are now engaged in a revitalization program which will produce a greater military potential for combating communist aggression throughout the world. That today from U.S. Army Inspector Deputy Major General Wayne Zimmerman. General Zimmerman addressed a joint meeting of the Duluth Superior Kiwanis and Rotary Clubs this noon at Hotel Duluth. It's on the occasion of the city's Armed Forces Day. He'll receive a parade of military and patriotic groups beginning at 7:30 tonight in downtown Duluth. The nation's military house cleaning and remodeling began just after the Korean War ceasefire in July 1953. All arms are included in the sweeping plan, which calls for re-equipping forces with new and modern weapons and improvement of supply techniques and administration. Lou?
Thanks, Mike. An ardent civic worker with two powerful weapons at her disposal, a voice and a newspaper, is Duluth's 1954 Woman of the Year. Honored at the annual Duluth Day Luncheon at the Hotel Duluth today, Mrs. Frieda Wunger may be found at any time surrounded by books, papers, and records in her office, typing out speeches which she learns and then throws away, or editorials on the civic, social, and cultural development of Duluth. As editor and owner of the weekly newspaper, Duluth Publicity, her name has been connected with many civic committees, including election reform, responsible for the adoption of voting machines. When her husband, John Munger, died in 1935, his wife took over the paper they had started in 1930. Congratulations, Frieda Munger. She has a great newspaper.
You're just saying that because she's featuring you in this week's magazine. I hear it's a special fold-out photo spread of you, kind of like that new magazine Playboy.
Just because you have to do ads about brassieres doesn't mean that you have to be sarcastic, and it's a great article.
Did she get you to take your shirt off?
I was wearing my fedora.
Ooh, that's provocative. Anything else?
Do the weather, Tim.
That means it's time for Mr. Weatherman. Hi, Mr. Weatherman.
Hi, Tim. And all you campers and campettes. The forecast for this Thursday, May 13th, 1954, is...
You're talking to a sock puppet.
Not just any ordinary sock puppet. This is Mr. Weatherman.
Hi, Lou.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Go ahead, Mr. Weatherman.
Mr. Weatherman says it'll be nice, campers. It'll be a warmer tomorrow with partly cloudy skies and a high of 62 degrees.
Thank you, Mr. Weatherman.
You know, I don't think Lou likes my wardrobe.
You're wearing a sock.
An Argyle sock. Pretty fancy, don't you think?
I suppose the choices are limited for a sock puppet.
This is so cool. Lou Martin is talking to a sock puppet.
I am not.
Okay, campers and campettes, time to twiddle the toes to Jimmy Rogers. Here's Honeycomb on the Gather Round Show.
I like Jimmy Rogers.
Honeycomb. Honeycomb. Well, it's a darn good life, and it's kind of funny how the Lord made the bee, and the bee made the honey, and the honey bee looking for a home. And they called it a honeycomb, and they roamed the world, and they gathered all of the honeycomb in the one sweet fall. And the honeycomb from a million trips made my baby's lips. Oh, honeycomb, oh, won't you be my baby? Well, the honeycomb be my home. Got a hank of hair and a piece of bone, and made a walking, talking
honeycomb. Well, honeycomb, won't you be my baby? Well, a honeycomb, be my own. What a darn good life when you got a wife like a honeycomb.
Honeycomb.
And the Lord said, now that I made a bee, I'm gonna look all around for a green, green tree. And he made a little tree, and I guess you heard. Popping, well, he made a little bird, and they waited all around until the end of spring. I guess every note that the birdies sing, and they put them all in the one sweet tone. For my honeycomb, oh, honeycomb, oh, won't you be my baby? Well, the honeycomb be my own. Got a hank of hair and a piece of bone, and made a walking, talking honeycomb. Well, the honeycomb, oh, won't you be my baby? Well, the honeycomb be my own. What a darn good life when you got a wife like honeycomb.
Honeycomb.
And the Lord said, now that I made a bird, I'm gonna look all around for a little old word. It sounds about sweet like a turtle dove, and I guess I'm gonna call it love. And he roamed the world, looking everywhere, we're getting love from here, love from there. And he put it all in a little old choir of my baby's heart. Oh, honeycomb, oh, won't you be my baby? Well, the honeycomb be my own. Got a hank of hair and a piece of bone that made a walk. Talking honeycomb, well, honeycomb, I want to be my baby. Well, honeycomb, be my own. What a darn good life when you got a wife like honeycomb.
Honeycomb.
Honeycomb. Okay, campers and camp pets, that was Honeycomb by Jimmy Rogers on the Gather Round Show. Hey, did you know that Gold Finds has bought up the entire stock, the entire showroom stock, of leading carpet distributors? $50,000 worth of carpets have been slashed. You can save up to $2 to $12 per yard. Quality all-wool Wilton carpet, only $6.88 per square yard. Modern broadloom carpet, $3.88 per square yard. Or Wilton carpeting for only $7.88. And if you'd like a great TV value, real quick, they got a General Electric 21-inch mahogany console, black daylight. It's a beauty. $289, and you only pay $10 down. So for great bargains, make sure you shop Gold Finds by the bridge, of course. Harriet's in with the movies next, campers. Bringing her in is the Cordettes and Mr. Sandman on the Evening Gather Round Show.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.
Bum, 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 bum.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Bum, 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 bum.
Give him two lips like roses and clover.
Bum, 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 bum.
Then tell him that his lonesome nights are over. Sandman, I'm so alone.
Bum, 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 bum.
Don't have nobody to call my own.
Bum, bum, bum.
Please turn on your magic beam. Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.
Bum, 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 bum.
Bum, 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 bum. Bring us a dream. Give him a pair of eyes with a commoner gleam. Give him a lonely heart like Pagliacci, and lots of wavy hair like Liberace. Mr. Sandman, someone to hold.
Someone to hold.
Your face so peachy before we're too old. So please turn on your magic beam.
Cordettes and Mr. Sandman on KUWS. Harriet and George G. Newton of George G. Newton Realty are both here.
I brought Georgie along because he's thinking of retiring.
Just thinking, you know, just thinking, that's all. I'm not sure. I mean, who could be sure about a thing like that?
I know what you mean. Who can possibly be sure?
7,895 days left until I get to retire.
Retirement doesn't mean the end of your active life, Georgie.
Doesn't it? Doesn't it? Hey, it's a death sentence, that's what it is.
Ooh, I'm getting a little uncomfortable
here. It's the end, I tell you, for me.
Now, entertainment editor Harriet Feurig with what's playing at the movies.
Oh, goodness, Georgie. Well, tonight we're featuring Duluth Theaters. Top billing goes to the North Shore Theater, where Robert Mitchum and Marilyn Monroe ride the churning rapids of Devil's Teeth. They fight their way out of a Cree ambush. You'll be swept up with them by the swirling white waters of the Bow and Snake Indian Rivers as Monroe and Mitchum meet, fight, and love in River of No Return. Hear Marilyn sing four songs in four-track, high-fidelity stereophonic sound. Playing before the film begins is a CinemaScope Musical Symphony No. 4 and a droopy cartoon. Just 65 cents for adult matinees, 85 cents after 6 p.m., junior tickets, 50 cents, and children, 20 cents at the North Shore. Tonight at the Doric Theater, see Eleanor Parker and newcomer Charlton Heston in The Naked Jungle. The Lyceum has a double feature with James Stewart in Carbine Williams and Robert Morley in Melba. Playing at the Lyric Theater is Shelley Winters and Keenan Wynn in the boxing thriller Tennessee Champ. Held over for a second week, the World Theater stars the lovely Elizabeth Taylor in Living Technicolor in Rhapsody. Tomorrow night is the gala reopening of the Skyline Drive-In Theater. They'll show Captain's Paradise. You can watch it from the comfort of your car.
Or, better yet, not watch it from the back seat with your campettes, campers, or campies.
Timothy! Skyline Drive-In Theater is on the Miller Trunk Highway and number 94. One more thing, Lewis and everyone. This is so wonderful. Edward Everett Horton will be in person at the Duluth Playhouse performing Springtime for Henry. Mr. Horton is best known as the rather mousy actor in films with Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, such as Top Hat, and with Cary Grant in Arsenic and Old Lace. Tickets are $1.50, with choice seats still available at $2.50. Good seats are still available, Lewis.
Hint, hint.
Thank you, Harriet Feurig.
But Everett Horton is 68 years old, and he's not retiring.
Yeah, but you're like 111, Georgie. Time to kick back.
You mean kick the bucket?
On with the music, campers. Fittingly, here's the Fontaine Sisters in 17 on the Evening Gather Round Show.
17, 17, she's a solid 17, young enough to dance and sing, old enough to get that swing. Past 16, just been kissed, graduated and got that twist, the kind of love you can't resist. At 17, now sloppy shirt, old blue jeans, dirty shoes, by all means, patch of blonde, rock side hair, jukebox baby, ain't no square. 17, she's the queen, cutest gal you've ever seen. All the boys are really keen on the head cat doll of 17. Cutest gal you've ever seen. All the boys are really
The Fontaine Sisters in 17. Something that happened to Georgie during Reconstruction.
Civil War jokes? No, no. Not nice, King Timothy.
That's okay. I mean, Timmy's just trying to keep it light with a little humor. In this case, very little humor. Fact is, you know, old jokes don't bother me.
Tim is second only to Jack when it comes to old jokes.
No. I mean jokes about getting older. I mean, the golden years. They don't bother me at all. I'm proud I've achieved the status of sage. Like I say, I've earned every gray hair in my head.
And I'm earning every bald spot in my head.
Better do the sports, Ray. Okay, Ray. Thanks, Ray. You're a great guy, Ray. Hello, fans of the sporting world. Boston manager Lou Boudreau, whose Red Sox lost two close ones to the Chicago White Sox, thinks the Cleveland Indians will take the pennant. Boudreau summed up the flag chase this way, quote, "Before Ted Williams and Mel Parnell were laid up with injuries, I thought we had a good chance to win. But now I look for the Indians, Yankees, and White Sox to fight it out." White Sox manager Paul Richards says, "Why kid ourselves? The reason Casey Stengel's club has been slow in starting is the batting averages. Gil McDougald is hitting only 185. Gene Woodling, 211. Mickey Mantle, 212. Yogi Berra, 268. And Hank Bauer, 274. All is gemütlichkeit with Charlie Grimm, the manager of the Milwaukee Braves. There is no real English translation of the German word gemütlichkeit, but it can be interpreted as meaning good feeling or good fellowship, but darn hard to say. Two consecutive victories over the defending champion Brooklyn Dodgers in their own lair, the last a one-hit performance by Lou Burdette, has wiped away several lines from Charlie's creased brow. Grimm says, quote, "We are beginning to roll. The pitching is starting to take shape. Eddie Matthews is hitting again. And Bobby Thompson is back on the club." Says star pitcher Warren Spahn, "It's good to see Bobby back with us. Even though he isn't in uniform, his presence gives us all a great boost." Manager Oscar Kedarian says after the Duluth Dukes lost their Northern League opener to Eau Claire 18-1, it was probably the best thing that could have happened. He meant that the game served as a warning to his Dukies that they were in a tough league and can't win without putting forth their best effort. Well, maybe the Dukes learned another lesson last night. Leading Superior 8-2 going into the last of the ninth, Duluth suffered a let-up or something and lost to the Blues 9-8. Now it's time to hop onto my soapbox, sport fans. Duluth long has prided itself on having one of the finest minor league baseball parks in the Midwest. We doubt if there is a Class C team anywhere with better facilities that they have at Wade Stadium, which is owned and operated by the city. But the park is going to pot. Floodlight standards are rusting and in disrepair. So is the screen covering the grandstands. Bleacher seats need painting. Frankly, the stadium is getting a shoddy, neglected look, and fans don't like it. Off my box now, this is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport. Timmy?
Thank you, Rapid Man. We're going to solve Georgie's problems right after this new number. From the 1954 hit parade, here's Dino Martino, and memories are made of this on the Evening Gather Round Show.
Sweet, sweet memories you gave of me. You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Take one fresh and tender kiss.
The memories you gave of me.
Add one stolen night of bliss.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
One girl, one boy, some grief, some joy, memories are made of this. Don't forget a small
lonely.
Fold in lightly with a dream. your lips and mine, two sips of wine. Memories are made of this.
Then add the wedding bells, the one house where lovers dwell, three little kids for the flavor. Stir carefully through the days, see how the flavor stays. These are the dreams you will savor.
With his blessings from above,
the memories you gave me,
serve it generously in love. One man, one wife, one love, true life, memories are made of this. Memories are made of this.
Dean Martin, Memories Are Made of This on KUWS. So, Georgie.
Hey, that's George G, as in George George. It's not Georgie.
Anyway, George, you can't retire.
But you deserve to retire.
I'm with Harriet. Think of it, George. Do whatever you want, whenever you want. People work their whole lives so they can get in a few golden years.
Yeah, I don't know, guys. I mean, I just don't. I wish I did, but I don't. Usually I'm so sure of things.
I'm sure. You can't retire. It's a death sentence for you.
See? See, Timmy's got it right. If I don't keep busy, I'll die.
Oh, that's preposterous.
Whenever I hear that word, I think of hippopotamus.
As in, it's preposterous for a hippopotamus to retire.
We need to stay focused here, boys.
You know, I was reading Glamour magazine, and there's this California psychiatrist.
Glamour magazine and California psychiatrist. That's two strikes right there.
Dr. George Wayne says some people feel guilty about not working. He says the personality that can't modify his work pattern is also the one who had difficulty in renouncing the breast for the bottle.
Ooh, that would be strike three.
Dr. Wayne says most children learn how to play and then adapt that to work. But some children never learn how to play because of strict parents that make them feel guilt-laden if they have any fun, thus he's a guilt worker.
You know, come to think of it, my games were kind of different. Wash the horsey, scrub the floory, fill the coal binny.
A game called fill the coal binny?
Wash the horsey, scrub the floor?
That's scrub the floory. Flory makes it fun.
So, Dr. Wayne says retirement is an insult to someone like Georgie's integrity. Thusly, psychological insult accentuates physical decline, and we have the psychosomatic syndrome of senility. So, retirement is out of the question.
Did he just call me a psycho?
He did it in a caring way.
This is the most fun.
No. Timmy's right. Kind of.
So the answer is to kind of retire, George.
Don't put in so many hours. Keep your foot in the door. But let your nose smell the roses.
Problem solved. Hey, time to put out the campfire, but we'll be back same time, same campground, the good Lord willing, and we don't get stuck playing Scrub the Flory. For Lou Martin, Ray, Harriet, and Georgie George, this is Tim Michaels inviting you to gather around again tomorrow night.
I never did think that was a lot of fun, you know.
You must have hated Scrub the Horsey.
But the problem was I'd play Scrub the Horsey, and then the horsey would make me play Scrub the Flory.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1954, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Duke Skorich, Al Katz, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1954 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegraph. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.
All is galumlikite. Let's do that again.